cost structure, revenue model, and tax strategy. A supply chain strategy needs to build off of its value proposition and core competencies to show how it will add financial value. Here we look at how supply chain strategy needs to specify a cost structure, a revenue model, and tax strategy. Cost structure. A supply chain's cost structure, or at least one organization's portion of it, consists of spending priorities for customer service, sales channels, value system, operating model, and asset footprint. Note that what you own or lease will carry a different cost structure from what you contract out, but both methods have related costs. Outsourcing or partnering costs include supervision costs and a reduced share of total revenues as benefits are shared with more partners and service providers. Like other areas of supply chain strategy, a supply chain's cost structure needs to support the organization's overall cost structure. For example, if the organization chooses low cost as its basis of competition, then the supply chain strategy will tend toward efficiency as its cost structure. An efficient supply chain will have economies of scale, will use third parties whenever the total cost is the lowest, and will minimize more expensive forms of customer service, such as expensive sales channels. Even in a make-to-stock operating model, inventory levels will be minimized. This model will not be able to emphasize responsiveness, such as ensuring delivery during an emergency, as high levels of responsiveness come at a high cost. On the other hand, if the organization has innovation or customer experience as a basis of competition, its supply chain will likely pursue this focus or differentiation competitive basis by investing in responsiveness so that it can respond quickly to changes in market conditions, transformative technologies, the need to increase capacity, for example, agility, new competitors, or the incorporation of newly acquired organizations. In this case, the cost structure will not be able to also maximize efficiency in all areas, as some redundancy and scalable capacity may be needed. Regardless of the strategy, costs will need to be tracked and controlled so that they can be minimized to the extent possible given the strategic goals. Depending upon the type of industry, supply chain costs can be as high as 50% of a company's revenues. According to research done by A.T. Kearney, a global consulting firm, inefficiencies in the supply chain can total 25% of a company's operating costs, so there is often significant room for improvement. Spend management is one tool that organizations employ to ensure that outgoing funds are appropriate and authorized. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines spend management as managing the outflow of funds in order to buy goods and services. The term is intended to encompass such processes as outsourcing, procurement, e-procurement, and supply chain management. Spend management often deals with consolidating internal demand across business functions, divisions, or extended partners, and/or consolidating suppliers in a given category to find areas for purchasing and transportation quantity rate discounts. Relative to financial performance, spend management involves managing the outflow of funds in order to buy goods and services. Spend management may also need to coordinate closely with accounts payable, because payment timing is vital to spend management execution. If supply chain management can reduce the amount spent on inventory or increase the speed with which inventory is converted into cash without reducing customer service or revenue, then it contributes directly to the company's financial performance. Saving money will always be a priority. Organizations realize a more direct gain when costs go down than when revenues go up. This is because when revenues go up, all variable expenses also go up. When sales increase, variable costs, such as direct material and labor costs, increase along with the revenue increases. However, cutting, say, $1 per unit from a cost increases the profit margin by $1 per unit. So the entire gain is leveraged. Revenue model. A supply chain's revenue model will parallel its organizational equivalent. However, a supply chain doesn't directly produce revenue unless the sales channels are included in what is defined as the supply chain. Supply chain strategy can include establishment of sales channels, for example, warehouses, transportation networks, network partnerships, that do generate revenue. In the past, a supply chain was perceived as a cost center. This mentality led to cost-cutting measures that often compromised value. More modern supply chain revenue models consider the supply chain as a value-added service that earns the organization a share of the revenue it is producing. Supply chain managers need to play a role in justifying supply chain management by promoting it with executives as a value-added function.
Tax strategy.
Supply chain management strategies have an impact on tax planning because multinational organizations often work to reduce the global tax liability of the extended enterprise. Paying less in taxes around the world translates into increased earnings per share. Organizations that operate internationally can design their supply chains to take advantage of tax regulations in various regions that are designed to lure business to a specific country, region, or local area. This will be just one factor in the decision to move some part of operations to a given area. So the goal will be to find areas with the minimum total supply chain cost. As taxes increase, these advantages tend to play a greater role in the decision. In many cases, the headquarters of an organization may move to one location to minimize income taxes while other supply chain operations move elsewhere to take advantage of operational tax advantages. A tax-aligned supply chain, TISC, is one that weighs taxation among other supply chain costs and challenges. By aligning tax planning with supply chain efficiency initiatives, an organization might find a location that increases both efficiency and tax savings. This strategy applies for the most part to large, multinational organizations that are in the midst of modifying their supply chains, giving them the opportunity to locate assets and operations in low-tax countries. The World Bank's Doing Business 2020 includes an indicator for tax policies by country. A link to this index has been included in the online resource center. Tax incentives. Various types of taxes might be used as incentives if the rate is lower or the allowable deductions make the effective rate lower than another region or country under consideration. Certain taxes can also be eliminated using a tax holiday, which waives taxes on specific inventory, property, plant, or equipment for a temporary or indefinite period, such as to promote business investment and job growth in the area. Procurement and taxes. When rethinking procurement strategy, multinational corporations may decide to set up a central, global procurement and sourcing center to create efficiencies from consolidation of staff and equipment. If, in addition, the company locates the facility in a low-tax region, the tax savings will magnify the savings from efficiencies of scale. If a centralized procurement facility is created, it could also reduce tariffs, another type of tax. Taxes and logistics networks. Some organizations review their logistics networks every 5 years or so to see if they can find ways to improve the efficiency or effectiveness of product flows. While they're cutting lead times, reducing manufacturing costs, and shaving transportation outlays, they can also reduce their global tax liability by closing facilities in high-tax jurisdictions and moving them to countries with lower tax rates. Taxes and information technology. One tax-saving strategy is the purchase of supply chain software to improve planning and responsiveness. This could be an enterprise resources planning, ERP, system that automatically determines the right tax payment for the company and locates all justifiable tax credits and deductions. Such systems can also be useful in complying with corporate governance regulations, such as the U.S. Sarbanes-Oxley Act,